RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Far point keep in. Thompson scores! Thompson fired the shot with Doan going to the net, and Peyton Krebs is going to be the one first in line. Apparently to get the touch, Razor to make it 2-1.
Peyton Krebs, solid effort tonight. He ends up having a goal and an assist. That one he deflects a Tage Thompson shot early second period to put Buffalo up 2-1. That's your game winner and our goal of the game. Brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. So we welcome you back here to KeyBank Center. Sellout crowd, many going home happy as the Sabres come back from a early 1-0 deficit, score four straight. McLeod, Krebs, Samuelson, and Norris, and some solid goaltending from Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, and Buffalo wins their eighth game in a row. The last time it's gotten this high, you've got to go back to 2018. Buffalo won 10 in a row then, from November 8th to November 27th of 2018. So we're talking seven-plus seasons here since Buffalo has won this many, and I'm excited to keep clicking refresh on the standings to see how this plays out here with all these early games about to go final. Pat Malacarlo, a very solid effort from Buffalo, especially in the second and the third.
Yeah, they never let off the gas at any point and just continue to press the play, because that's the one thing. If you let up, a team like Boston, we've got Pastrnak, you know what he can do offensively. They have plenty of goal scorers. They're a good enough team that you give them any daylight and they could find their way back in a two-goal game to make it 3-3 in a moment's notice. But the Sabres didn't let up. They had a couple power play chances. Even though they didn't score, still had some good opportunities. And this is another complete victory for this team. Another night where you're sitting here saying every aspect of the game, they played well. Blocking shots, they did a really good job at that. And I think it was very, very apt that Josh Norris gets the game winner, or the empty netter right at the end there, after the effort he put forth throughout the majority of the night.
Yeah, he was diving all over the place in the third period, trying to keep the puck out of the way of his net. And Krebs also, who gets an assist on that game winner, I thought had a very Krebs-like game, but also produced with a goal and an assist, so a worthy third-star honor for him tonight.
Yeah, he was very effective, and that's the one thing. This team is getting contributions from pretty much up and down the lineup right now, something that at times it was hard to see it all be put together at the same time, but certainly now that they've put this eight-game streak together, it's not just one goaltender. It's either a Lyon or Luukkonen that's playing well. The forwards, the defense, everything. Look, this is a night where they don't have Rasmus Dahlin. He's not on the ice tonight. He's not playing tonight. And they put together a good defensive effort. It didn't matter who was on the ice. It looked like the units were working very well together.
Two of the storylines, Pat, that you and Paul and I were talking about in pregame was the decision to go with Luukkonen. That seemed to obviously work. And what are they going to do playing without their captain? They've had very poor success without Dahlin in his lineup, not in the lineup during the course of his career, and they were able to overcome both of those tonight.
Yeah, zero success without Dahlin in the lineup this year specifically. But again, you know, someone like Mattias Samuelsson steps up, and you're not going to necessarily expect him to have 3 points in a period all the time, but he came through when they needed him. Look what Tage Thompson, Jack Quinn. I mean, another night where Quinn has two assists. He now has 14 on the year. So you have several players, multi-point nights in the end. Four players, I think, end up with multi-point nights, if my math is correct. So you've got guys all over the score sheet. And even in the first period, Michael Kesselring had three shots on goal. So they're getting shots from every aspect of the game tonight. It wasn't just one group, one specific unit. It seemed like another team effort that came from all five players on the ice.
11 players had more than one shot registered on net, like you said. Power led the way with five. Kesselring also with five. Thompson with four. and four players with multiple point nights, including Samuelson, who ends up getting the first star honors tonight. 3 points for him. We were talking a little bit about it in the intermission. Not only has he been so sound defensively this year, but offensively, Pat, boy, the contributions he's done here. Tonight, 3 more points, including a goal.
And it may have been slow at the start of the season for it to come together, but boy, once it clicked for Samuelson, he has been about as good as you could have expected from him. So we even talked a little bit on pregame today about, you know, it takes defensemen different time to develop and to for everything to click, and it's not one straight line for anybody. And certainly there have been meandering points, bumps in the road for Samuelson. Injuries have been a part of the story, but this season he has definitely put together his most complete year, both offensively and defensively, and it's much needed again on a night where you don't have not only your top defenseman, but your captain on the ice.
As of this moment, the Sabres are tied for the final wild card. Florida has 42 points. Buffalo has 42 points. Florida has the one less game played, so that will even up here, and they're still playing in their game right now with Tampa, so that could change. But as of this moment, they're tied for the final wild card spot. What a turnaround from just a month ago, or yeah, less than a month ago.
Right. We're not talking about the Sabres having to jump 5 or 6 teams now to get within striking distance. They're there. This is what they had to do in order to get to this point, was put together a 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 game winning streak. So they've got an opportunity to extend it even further against St. Louis and continue this momentum. They've done a really good job to get to this point, and you can really see that, again, it's not just one piece of the team that's carrying things. Yes, Tage Thompson has a multi-point night, but it's Samuelson with 3 in the second. It's, again, Jack Quinn picking up assists, so maybe guys coming in through different ways for this team, and they're also playing very disciplined. I think that's very important part of it as well. We know their penalty kill has been good, but when you're not in the penalty box as much, you really give yourself a chance. They've been a very good team 5-on-5 scoring, even when they have not won a lot of games in the last couple of years. They've been good 5-on-5, and so give yourself those opportunities, and they continue to.
4-1, the final. Buffalo victorious here tonight. McLeod, Krebs, Samuelson, and Norris with Buffalo's goals as the Sabres get it done against another division foe. They'll play some Western teams upcoming here to finish out the 2025 portion of the schedule. They'll be at St. Louis on Monday night and then at Dallas on New Year's Eve night on Wednesday. Both of those games are scheduled for 8 p.m. Eastern puck drops. We go live to the room. Up first, Matthias Samuelson with Paul.
Yes, all the opportunity to grab the puck in the middle of the ice and skate. You know, I think whenever you can kick it out as a defenseman and push their D back, you could help your forwards create. And
all right, we have lost Matthias Samuelson. Hopefully we'll get that back here in just
He'll
a moment.
He'll play like that and be able to go offensively too.
Yeah, I mean, I think I made a big emphasis in my game this year, try to play more of a 200-foot game, plays like that, good defensively, end plays, you know, get up in the rush, whether it's the four-man or like that one, lugging the puck up the ice. But, yeah, that's hockey. That's fun. That's making plays and, yeah, fun night.
How cool was your goal for the fact you saw some open ice and Jack clearly saw you leaking in?
Yeah, it's good. Great play by Twos. You know, their winger kind of turned his back and protected the house, so I thought I had some room to creep in there. Not really sure how it got through the two guys, but yeah, I'll take it.
Was it your speed that really, for the team? I mean, you guys were flying during that game. It seemed like your speed is what really turned the tide towards you guys winning that hockey game.
Yeah, for sure. I think, like I said earlier, I don't think many guys felt very good in the start of the first. You know, I think in the second, we especially found our legs there, and you saw the surge offensively that we're capable of when we play a fast game and keep the tempo up, attack, keep them on their heels. You know, that's the fun brand of hockey. That's
team limited Boston to 2 shots on goal. What did your team do to really take control in the second period?
I think we just had the puck most of the time, to be honest. I don't know if there was one thing defensively that we did to limit their chances, more of just play in their zone, and then don't give up many shots.
Matias Samuelson in the post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, that is Matias Samuelson. He picked up his eighth of the season, assisting on the McLeod and Krebs goal. 3-point night for him as the Sabres win it by a score of 4-1 for their eighth straight victory. Again, the last time they've won this many in a row, we got to go back to 2018 when they won 10 straight games in November, from November 8th to November 27th. Sabres, again, finishing this year with Blues and Stars. More on the schedule in a moment. Back to Peyton Krebs now, live with Paul.
Thanks, Brian. Peyton, must be nice to be rewarded. I mean, you're always around the crease, but now you're being rewarded for being there. You're in the crease. You get the tip in. That has to be nice to be rewarded finally.
Yeah, I think I'm just trying to do the right things every day. Playing with guys like Tom or Donner, I know they're going to get the puck to the net, so I'm just trying to be there. And it was nice to get that one off the blade and get that go-ahead goal.
How's it been with them? I mean, your numbers have been great as far as analytic numbers and everything. Maybe the points haven't been coming, but the overall numbers have been very good since you've been on that line. How has it been on that line for you?
Yeah, just continue to do the right things. I know, obviously, like you said, maybe sometimes the pucks haven't gone in like we like to, but we're winning. We're doing the right things, and we know it's going to come. So just trying to repeat that over again, keep trying to make plays, and the goals will come.
We saw it in New Jersey and Ottawa where you frustrated the opponent just as a group puck hounding. How much did you think the second period tonight was another example that you really hounded pucks and frustrated them?
Yeah, I think one of our strongest assets is when we get on that forecheck, D struggle to break out against us, and that creates a lot of offense, a lot of confusion. Other teams start to make sloppy plays, and we'll take advantage. So continue to do that, get on that forecheck and hunt pucks.
What do you think about the buy-in in the building? The building's packed, and you get the sense people feel what's going on here.
No, like I said, I've been here for a while now, and it's one of the, when you win, they'll come back, and they've shown that they're a loyal fan base. And if we continue to do that, it's going to be a lot of fun in this building.
Peyton, what is it like to see Matias Samuelson with a 3-point night? Were you surprised by that, or did you expect that?
Yeah, totally surprised. No, that guy, he puts the work in. He's a workhorse. As you see, he plays hard in the D zone. And when you do that, you're going to get offensive, offensive touches because you're not in the D zone. So, I think... he's been playing really good hockey, both ends of the ice, and he's been one of our best players every single night. So it's exciting to see that paying off for him, the work he's put in, and just want to keep seeing him get even better and better.
Seemed like in the second period you guys found your legs. Was it the speed that really helped you guys win that hockey game? It seemed like once you guys found your legs, you guys were flying past them.
Yeah, I think Christmas break, some extra meals at the dinner table. Take a period to get into it there for us. Just stuck with it and got our legs in the second and get going.
You mentioned Matias and the game he had, but how big a presence is he in this locker room off the ice just as a leader?
Yeah, he's a guy that I've come up with, since first getting traded here in Rochester and then now, and a guy I look up to for advice and just a good guy to chat with. So, he's a great guy on and off the ice. A lot of fun to be around and great to have you on the ice too. He's going to stick up for you if you're in a battle, and he'll put that extra effort in each and every night.
Is Tage the same way? I know you guys have fun in the locker room with each other, but since you've been together with him, it looks like you guys have a nice chemistry.
Yeah, just trying to get him the puck. trying to win those battles for him, allow him to play his game, and continue to get shots. I think when you keep that guy happy, everyone else is happy, and it's fun to be around, so it's great.
Thank you, Peyton. Peyton Krebs on the post game, and we'll hold it here if I can get in on Ryan McLeod.
Yeah, it just makes it so much easier for us when you have the crowd behind you, firing you up. And it was a lot of fun to play tonight.
The second period, your team limited Boston to 2 shots on goal. What did your team really do to take control of the puck?
I think we're just trying to play in their end more. Maybe a bit of a track meet in the first period. And, that's kind of their go-to game. So I think we just got in deep and just rolled around in there, and it limited them.
But, Ryan, you guys continued the track meet in the second and third. You guys had a lot of speed. It seemed like a lot more speed than they did. Is that what helped you guys win, is the speed?
I think that probably a big factor. The boys were fresh after a couple of days off for Christmas, so that was nice. So we had a lot of jump tonight, and it was a fun one.
On your goal, are you picking the far corner there or just got lucky?
I just closed my eyes and let it go.
What's this like to see this crowd respond to you guys playing this way?
It's awesome. You know, I feel like, you know, everyone's always talking about, you know, when we start getting good, it's, you know, there's no better city to play in, and I think it's, you know, really showing right now.
How about, you know, you had Alex Lyon on a roll here, but now Lukanen gets in. He's played two of the last three games, and he's joined in and played very well for you. That has to give you guys a lot of confidence.
For sure. I think, you know, the guys in this room had, you know, confidence in him the whole year, and you know, just kind of showing now he's, you know, really top-tier goalie, and, you know, it's great that we have two guys going right now.
Thanks, Ryan.
Ryan McLeod in the postgame. Brian, back to you.
All right, there's Ryan McLeod, who got Buffalo on the board early second period, the start of a dominating second period. Back to the room, Ukko Pekka Luukkonen live with Paul.
Ukko, you told me earlier your folks were here, your parents were here, I think you said your brothers are here. That had to be fun to be able to perform like you did in front of them.
Yeah, it's always nice. I think we saved some nerves for my parents, you know. They're usually the more nervous ones, so, you know, it's always fun when they're here, and especially when we win in front of them. It's, you know, I feel like a lot of the families of the players are here tonight, so it kind of makes it always special.
Just what kind of group have you found in the last week here? I mean, you set for a bit, but I mean, now you've seen the top of your game. Just what have you found maybe here in the last week?
You know, I feel like when you play well, you find some confidence. You get comfortable with your own game. You know what works and what doesn't, and you kind of go from there. And I feel like it's just such a nice group of guys. You know, it's every day it's fun to come to the rink. We grind it through tough times here, and with this group, and kind of now when things are going our way, it just, you know, means that a little bit extra more for us too. So I feel like it's just being a team effort, and you know, it's just, you know, I think for everybody, including me, it's just about confidence.
Did you see, we talked about this morning, did you see it again in this game where everybody worked hard to get back, kill plays, and help you out? And when you needed to make a big save, you made a big save. It again seemed like you're helping each other out.
No, 100%. And I feel like we went to the first period, we played a good period, but we came to the second and we played even better. You know, I think they scored the first one. Nobody kind of didn't show in our game. We, you know, kind of took a breath between the periods, and we showed even better in the second. I don't know if I had to make a save on the second. So, you know, I feel like the work effort is there. I feel like we're finding the way to play. Everybody's buying into it, and I think it shows in the scoreboard.
Are there things you do mentally, physically, to stay engaged when you're not seeing many shots in a period?
I think it's just you kind of learn it with as you go with your age, you know. There's never going to be a perfect game. You never get what you want in a game, and you have to kind of navigate through that. So I think that's one of the biggest things as a goalie, how you stay mentally in the game. It doesn't matter what happens. If you get 25 shots a period or zero shots a period, how you kind of work through that. And I think it's been getting better the more games I had in this league.
Your captain wasn't there tonight. You're without Rasmus Dahlin, but yet you were able to play well and win a hockey game. How big is that when you know what he means to the team to still be able to win when he wasn't out there?
Yeah, I think a lot of the guys stepped out today. You know, Sammy played on Unreal today, and, you know, everybody knows how big part Ras is of this team, you know, on the ice and as a leader off the ice too. So, you know, it's really unfortunate he wasn't here today, but he has, you know, more important things, of course, and everybody understands that. And, you know, I think, as I said, there's a lot of guys who stepped up today, and, you know, we wanted to win for him too.
Matthias is playing like an elite high-end defenseman. Just what have you noticed from him? What stood out about just the way he's playing right now?
Just how calm he is, you know, how big of a presence he is on the ice. Both ways, I feel like, even in the offensive zone, you know, I think he slows the game down for us in a good way, offensive zone too, but especially when we're talking about defense, I think he controls, you know, a lot of the ice. He, you know, he's unbelievable with his stick, especially when it comes to defending. So, you know, I feel like just overall you can see how much improvement he has done.
Thanks. Ukko Pekka Luukkonen on the postgame. Brian, back to you.
All right, Paul, thank you very much. Ukko Pekka Luukkonen, only one goal against on 22 shots. He and the Sabres come away with a 4-1 victory tonight to win their eighth straight game. All of our reports from the locker room brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Brian Colziel, Pat Malacaro back up here in the press box. We're going to be checking in with Lindy Ruff and his live postgame comments here coming up in just a few moments, so stick right here. We'll, of course, also get connected with our fans powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. You can send us some tweets at BrianWGR. We can also take some calls a little bit later on in the postgame. You can give us a call at 803-0550 here is the number on the postgame. Let's get in some final stats here while we wait for Lindy Ruff. It's brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Shots end up 34-22 in favor of the Sabres. And, you know, down the stretch here, it was 13-2 in the second. That's where Buffalo took that game over when they outscored the Bruins 3-0 in that second period of play. Boston got quite a few shots at the end there when they had the net pulled, and Lucan was good. Boston outshot Buffalo 11-8 in the third, but 34-22 overall in the game. Power plays, no one scores with the man advantage tonight. Boston 0-1, Buffalo 0-2. Lucan gets the win, 21 saves. Korpisalo the loss, 30 saves. And now, time for our three stars of the game, brought to you by Blue Star Home Services, your heating and cooling experts, ready to improve your home's comfort game plan. Get started at BlueStarHS.com. All Sabres with the stars here. Krebs with a goal and an assist, star number 3. McLeod with a goal. He got Buffalo on the board first to tie it up at 1. Star number 2. And Matias Samuelsson, no doubt about this tonight, a goal and 2 assists. The first star of this hockey game, Samuelsson with his 8th of the season, put Buffalo up by a score of 3-1. And the announced attendance tonight at KeyBank Center, 19,070. That is a sellout, the announced 5th sellout of the season for Buffalo. And now Buffalo will go on the road for the next 3 games. At St. Louis Monday, at Dallas Wednesday, at Columbus Saturday. So that is what Buffalo has upcoming next week. All 3 on the road, 2 against the West, 1 against the East. And then their next home game will be Tuesday, January 6th against Vancouver. That'll be a 7 o'clock puck drop. That'll be the first of a 6 out of 7 stretch at home to start January there after that one game in Columbus. So a lot of home games to start in January there, as Buffalo again will play 6 out of a 7 game stretch on home ice before they have another road trip on the 3rd week of January. So that's kind of how the schedule looks. But again, next week at St. Louis, at Dallas, at Columbus, Monday night, Wednesday night, Saturday afternoon. And, of course, we'll have all those games for you right here on the Sabres Radio Network. So that 8th straight win, well, what does it do to Buffalo in the standings? Well, they improved to now 19-14-4 on the season, 42 points. They are tied for a playoff spot right now with the Florida Panthers, who also have 42 points. Florida, points percentage-wise, though, is slightly ahead of Buffalo due to one less game played. But the Sabres, as of this moment, not only are they tied for this final wild card spot, but they are 1 point back of wild card 1, which is Washington, even number of games played there. They're also 1 point back of third-place Tampa in the Atlantic, if you're thinking about maybe where Buffalo sits within their own division. And they're 3 back of second place Montreal. So that's kind of what is up ahead for the Sabres in the standings. The team right behind Buffalo in the standings is the Rangers, who have played 3 more games than the Sabres, and they also have that 42-point total. But again, points percentage-wise would put Buffalo ahead of the Rangers as of this moment. It is amazing over a 3-week span, this 8-game winning streak, that the Sabres were in last, have passed Columbus, Toronto, Pittsburgh, Boston, New Jersey, Ottawa, and the New York Rangers, and now have moved into a tie for wild card spot number 2. Very, very impressive run. And I'll credit Paul Hamilton. He said it would take a 10-game winning streak for them to maybe get themselves in it. And they're 8. They're at 8 right now, and they could definitely get to 10 with how they're playing here right now. And teams are still going to play in between. We know that they're going to, you know, games tomorrow, games later tonight out west. So, you know, teams are going to play each other, and some are going to win. Every game has to have a winner, for sure. Obviously, you know, when a West team plays an East team, the Sabres are rooting for the West to win. When it's an East versus East, for the most part, again, depending upon who's playing, though, for the most part, you just don't want that game to end up going to overtime. By the way, Florida, the team that Buffalo is tied with right now, for this final wild card spot. They both have 42 points. They are playing right now with 30 seconds left to go in their game, and they are losing in regulation to Tampa by a 3-2 margin. So in some sense, that if that score holds, that is also good news for the Sabres on the out-of-town scoreboard. Tampa, of course, will pick up 2 points, which will increase the deficit to third place in the Atlantic. But in terms of the wild card, that is good news if that score holds as of this moment. Again, 30 seconds left down in Sunrise. Tampa has a 3-2 lead on Florida. I'll keep you posted on that. We'll get a full scoreboard coming up here in just a little bit. Lindy Ruff's postgame comments, hopefully here. We are going to have it any moment, so stick right here on the postgame show. And then, of course, after that, Paul Hamilton's final thoughts. We'll read some tweets as we'll get connected with our fans powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. If you want to get in on the phone lines with your thoughts, you can get in on hold here at 803-0550. All right, while we wait for Lindy here again, let's talk about some of the individual statistics here tonight. Samuelson, 3 points, a plus three. We knew he was going to get increased minutes tonight with the absence of Rasmus Dahlin. Samuelson played just under 25 minutes, 24-56, 4 shot attempts, credited for 6 hits in the game as well, and 2 blocked shots. Speaking of minutes, Byram, he has an assist, a plus 2 night. He plays almost 28 minutes. We knew that was going to go up tonight. 27-52 for Bo Byram tonight. 3 shot attempts for him, and he's also credited with 2 block shots. Beck Malenstein, I thought, a key couple of block shots on that late penalty kill. When Kesselring went for holding with 6:20 left in the game there, Kesselring goes to the box. Buffalo's 4-on-5 unit did a very, very nice job. How about Malenstein's night? Not only did he have those 2 block shots, 5 hits to lead the way there in that sequence. So a big physical night for him. The fourth line was good again. Lindy Ruff's talked about it. Dunn, Malenstein, and Greenway, they've done what your fourth line is supposed to do. They go out there. Not only do they shut down whoever they're going up against, but they're also creating opportunities for themselves just because of their effort and their energy and their physicality. Dunn had 2 good looks on a shift in the second period. So, you know, that's something that I think Buffalo's also been getting some contributions from. Now, we know Jason Zucker has been skating with the team. He's still unclear or not of whether he's going to actually go on the trip to St. Louis and Dallas. If he's ready to go, who do you take out at this point? I mean, is it done? I guess. I know fans don't want to see Austlin out of the lineup, but they've also going to maybe have to do something. I guess probably what's going to happen is if they activate Zucker, is my guess is that Roseanne goes back to Rochester at that point, and that'll still keep the forwards in terms of the numbers that it needs to be. Ellis, by the way, still on injured reserve. So at some point, I don't know, they just keep him on IR until they need him. That's obviously a situation worth monitoring as well. Okay, we are set to hear from Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. Let's head down to the media room and take you there live for the Sabres head coach.
Yeah, I thought we moved the puck a little bit better. We got inside a little bit more, and yeah, I think the third part was speed. We played a lot faster.
Matias had a play the first goal. I mean, he killed a play down, you know, behind your own net, and then he carried the puck and sets up Ryan. I mean, just what does that illustrate to you? I mean, he changes the game with plays, the whole fence of the ice.
Yeah, well, his physicality has been good, really good this year. I think he ends a lot of plays. He's really on top of his game. I mean, from what he's done chipping in offensively and the work he just done on the PK, and then playing against every top line and big minutes every night, he's really playing a good brand of hockey for us.
What did Matias do tonight to really take on a bigger role in the offense, particularly with Rasmus Dahlin's absence?
You know, I think he started a
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
A couple of those plays, which were, you know, we just mentioned, he by killing a play in one end, he starts the play going the other way. I thought he just found the seam. You know, a little bit similar to the play in Ottawa where, you know, we got a puck into the middle, but Tomer didn't quite get to it. And they ended up going the other way, but we found them. We had great net front presence with, I think it was Benson. I don't think the goalie saw it, but he hit his mark. I thought in the first period we shot a couple. We didn't quite hit our mark, but we did a lot better job in the second period. And like I said, he's, you know, I mean, he's making a lot of good plays, and he's shooting the puck really well too. Yeah, you know, and I've said it. I think, you know, we've gotten ourselves healthy. The lineup is deeper. The lines have had some good continuity to them. It's like a competition between the lines now. You know, who can go out and do the best job? I think you look at a couple. You look when Norris broke his stick in the second period, the big block, and then, you know, he got off in a timely fashion. You know, part of our plan is even though you break a stick, you're not staying out there. You're going to pick a moment to get off, and we'll send a new guy. And because you with no stick, you're not a lot of use. But I thought that's just an example of how hard the guys are playing.
What does it mean? We all know what Rasmus Dahlin means to your team. What does it mean to win a hockey game and play the way you did without him, you know, without him in the line?
Yeah, you know, I really think the guys wanted to win one for Ras. With all the stuff that he's dealt with and all that he's, you know, come back and given our team. You know, I'm aware of what our record is with him in, with him out. I talked to him. It was probably 6 o'clock tonight. You know, he was texting back and forth, and then I finally called him, and I just told him to go to bed, get some sleep, and we'll see you in St. Louis. And he said, "No, I'm staying up to watch the game." I should have asked him if his mom and dad are going to let him stay up that late. It is right now, yeah. If all goes well, he'll meet us, yeah.
How much has the discipline recently been a big factor for you guys? You guys have taken a lot of penalties in recent
years. Discipline's a big deal. You know, it's something that we spend time talking on. You know, stay away from offensive zone penalties. We were a relatively bad team changing where we took some penalties in the past. We're getting better at that. There's just things we're just continually trying to improve, and I think, you know, trying to win that margin of penalties inside every game is one of them.
How much do you feel like Peyton Krebs is finding his way on that top line?
Like I said, I think there's great chemistry. He's part of that chemistry. Just how hard he's been working and dogging pucks. I thought he was really good tonight. Not great at shooting at the empty net, but he was really good in almost in every other category. His work ethic, like he's a guy that has a big engine that doesn't get tired. You don't see him tired on the ice very often. And now he's making more plays, he's more comfortable. You know, it gives us a guy that can take draws on the left side. You know, we've seen a lot of plays where he'll win a draw back to Tomer, and Tomer's getting opportunities to shoot right off faceoffs. So it gives us a little flexibility too with him playing there. Thanks.
All right, that is Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. As we bring it back up here to the press box, Brian Colziel with you. 4-1 the final. Buffalo defeats Boston. 8 straight wins for the Sabres, and they'll try to make it 9 in a row Monday night in St. Louis against the Blues. That is an 8 p.m. puck drop, pregame at 7. We'll have it for you right here on the Sabres Radio Network. Okay, at this time, we're going to say goodnight to all of our local affiliates. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com, or you can listen in anywhere on the Odyssey app. And for all of you listening on WGR, or if you're in your car on your way home from KeyBank Center, we appreciate you being with us here tonight. You got a good one to watch in front of a sellout crowd. 19,070 saw Buffalo win their 8th in a row, a 4-1 win over the Bruins. I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for listening. Happy holidays, everybody. When we come back, Paul Hamilton's take. We'll read your tweets, get some calls, more stats, highlights, update you on the standings as the Sabres win it 4-1. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
With the empty net now for Boston. Here's a shot. Pad saved by Lucan, and he's got the rebound as well. As the Bruins have an empty net, and the Sabres have Ukko Pekka Luukkonen.
Dan Dunleavy there on the call. One of 21 saves on the night for Ukko Pekka Luukkonen. As the Sabres get it done tonight, 4-1 to win their 8th straight. That is our save of the game, brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your local Upstate Honda dealers today. 4-1 Buffalo. The Sabres have won 8 in a row. If the last time they've won this many, well, you got to go back to 2018, November 8th through the 27th, which they won 10 straight. So it's been 7-plus seasons since they've won this many in a row. They'll try to go for 9 in a row Monday night in St. Louis at 8 o'clock. We'll have the pregame at 7 right here on the Sabres Radio Network. If you're just getting in your car and just joining us here from KeyBank Center, and we appreciate you being with us here. Of course, they may have enjoyed the game here tonight from the building in front of a sellout. The Sabres, as of this moment, in terms of just pure points right now, are tied with Florida. And they also have both played 37 games. So points and points percentage-wise, Buffalo right now is tied for the final wildcard spot with 42. The Devils have 42 but have played one more game. The Rangers also have 42 but have played 3 more games. So even in terms of games played right now, the Sabres are tied for that final wildcard spot, even up with Florida as of this moment. If you're wondering about third place in the Atlantic, they are 3 points back of Montreal and even number of games played right there. And same you could say about second-place Tampa, also 3 points back of second-place Tampa, who also has the same number of games played, 37. All right, we'll read some tweets in a moment at Brian WGR. Send them in, but let's go down to the media room now and get Paul Hamilton's final take. Paul, it is a now repeating storyline that you and I keep talking about, how Buffalo is able to figure out ways to finish off games. As they went to the third here, they kept their lead and able to seal it with an empty netter. Other than maybe taking a penalty there for a few moments of them maybe being a little worried, other than that, they are confident now at finishing off games.
Yeah, and if you know, points percentage takes the games in hand out of it. Detroit actually would be third in the division at 603, while the Buffalo Sabres, as you mentioned, tied with the Florida Panthers at 568. The Caps are in seventh at 592. But the Sabres right now would not win the tiebreaker with the Florida Panthers. So they would not be in playoff spot right now yet with 8 straight wins. I don't know if it'll take the 10 that I was talking about. But right now they're tied with the Florida Panthers. So they have vaulted over 7 of the 8 teams that they would need to vault over to get to a playoff spot. And it took 8 straight wins to do that. But they've done it. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I thought there was any chance in the world that they could win 8 straight games. I just didn't think they had it in them. And because really nothing had shown us at all when I was saying that, they had just won 2 games in a row. They hadn't won 3 all year long. And it was December. And then all of a sudden, they have caught fire here. And between a general manager change, which I think has lifted a cloud off the organization, and them deciding that maybe Lindy Ruff has a point here and maybe we should play the way he would like us to play, and they've done that. Again, another good third period. This time they were holding on to a 2-goal lead Once again, penalty, but they killed it off, did a great job killing it off. I mean, Malenstein, how many block shots did he have in that penalty kill? And did a fantastic job killing it off, and the Bruins got no closer than 3-1, and then the empty netter made it 4-1. So Buffalo dominated the last 40 minutes. The first 20 minutes I thought was pretty even. But the Bruins looked like a team that didn't get on the ice this morning. You know, they had problems with their flight. They just couldn't keep up with Buffalo at all. Couldn't keep up with their speed. Couldn't keep up with the battle. There just was nothing they really could keep up with in that hockey game. They looked like the Sabres looked in Game 1 up in Boston in October.
Paul, the second period was just dominant. Not only did Buffalo outscore the Bruins 3-0, but they barely gave up possession of the puck. I mean, Luukkonen even said it. He goes, I don't even know if I stopped a shot in that period. Now, he obviously stopped two, but The point's the same. Buffalo had so much energy, so much speed, and so much puck control there that, I mean, no wonder they outscored him 3-0. It maybe even could have been worse.
Yeah, and, you know, Luukkonen had a nice game. I mean, the one goal that beat him, you know, he wasn't screened on, but still, that's fine. I mean, he's not perfect. And if he's only going to give up one goal a game, I don't care if it's his fault or not. Doesn't matter. One goal a game is just fine. I mean, if you're playing in the National Hockey League. So, we don't need to get into heavy analysis about the goal, whether it was a good goal, bad goal, or whatever, because it was the only goal he gave up. And he made some good saves. Probably the best save I saw was the one he made the save, and then it ramped up and hit the crossbar. That's in the net if he doesn't make the save. That doesn't hit the crossbar. So, I thought that was an excellent save that he made there. And, I would be hard-pressed to find a Sabre that didn't play well in this game.
Paul, how about Peyton Krebs? He has got to be annoying to play against. It just seems like every time the Bruins would collect themselves in their own zone, bang, number 19 is right in their face.
Yeah. He just does things that people just don't realize what he's doing. And, you know, if you look at his analytic numbers on that line, they're fantastic. They're not just good. They're fantastic. It's the little things he does. Why did he score a goal? Because he's standing in the crease. He's always standing in the crease. He's always there, causing havoc, making the goalie mad, making defensemen mad. How many chances did he get at the empty net because he was like a bulldog out there? He didn't hit it, but he gave himself a couple of opportunities to hit it just because he lost the puck, got it back. Lost the puck, got it back. You know, he's just tenacious at what he does. And Tage Thompson very much enjoys playing with him because of that. He only has two goals. I get it. But still, there's so many other things that he does well that people don't notice that, you know, I still even today get the, you know, he should be sent down to Rochester. They should just buy him out. It's just you're not watching him hard enough. You can't have four lines of 30 goal scorers. That doesn't work. Buffalo tried that back in the Drury, Briere, Conley era, and it didn't work. They didn't have – you got to have guys like work like the Dunn line with Malenstein and Greenway, the way they work. They're in the offensive zone all night. And it really doesn't matter if they score or not. One of these days, Dunn is going to score. I mean, he gets a couple of good opportunities every game just because of how hard he works and how hard his line mate works. And I noticed one shift in the third period. They got in the forecheck. Both Bruin defensemen were looking over their shoulder. It's like, who's going to hit me next? And they weren't paying attention to getting the puck and getting it out. And that's what that line does. They make they soften the defense where the defense is, uh-oh, I'm going to get hit again. Uh-oh, I'm going to get hit again. Uh-oh, I better get rid of this puck. And then they turn it over. And, that's the way Krebs works. And when Kozak's in the lineup, that's the way he works. But you have to have a line like that if you're going to be successful. Why did the Tampa Bay Lightning win two straight Stanley Cups? Do you remember when they got swept in the first round by the Columbus Blue Jackets? It's because they didn't have players like that. They had the skilled players, you know, Kucherov and Stamkos and those guys. They had a bunch of skilled players. So they kept those skilled players, but they went out and got guys like what I'm talking about here. And they made themselves hard to play against and helped those skilled players out because of that. Pat Maroon would be one of them. You know, how many Stanley Cups did he win with different teams because of the way he plays? And that's – it's the first line the Sabres have had a line like this, and I don't know how long. I don't know how many times I've been on with Craig Reve, and we're both just pounding the table of this team is not put together correctly. They need some guys like that, and they just didn't have any. And now, you know, they settled on Dunn, and I felt for a long time that they didn't need Gertsen because Dunn is a much, much better hockey player, and he can fill that role. If things get a little wild out there, Dunn will be there. You don't have to worry about a thing. So I really liked what that line brings to the table.
Kind of bouncing off that point here, as we're talking to Paul Hamilton on the postgame following the 4-1 Sabres victory over the Bruins. Paul, we're going to read a tweet here from @roamingbuffalo. He's commenting on Lindy Ruff saying how the lineup's gotten deeper, and he says, quote, it's like a competition's between lines now. He says, this is starting to look like some of Lindy's good Buffalo teams that always seem to do well when he had a second and two third lines and a fourth line. He goes, of course it was easier with Hasek or Miller, but I think his point's valid here. When you are starting to get all these lines that are all contributing in different facets, this is what makes you have a complete team. I mean, even, you know, how many years did we watch this same Bruins team have a third and a fourth line just dominate the Sabres? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that the Sabres have it at that level yet, but they're contributing like we haven't seen in many, many years.
Yeah, and you can put that line out there against the top line. They were out against Pasternak quite a bit. Lindy Ruff's not afraid to put Dunn's line out there against those guys because, once again, they have the puck most of the time, and they're on the forecheck, and the good line doesn't have the puck, so they can't get up ice to be the good line because they don't have the size or the tenacity to win those battles. And so he's not afraid to put them out there against, you know, top lines and match up that way when they're at home to get that matchup. So, and even earlier in the season when Rasmus Dahlin missed three games, they really weren't even competitive, to be quite honest. They lost badly. And, you know, for 2 years they hadn't won a game without Rasmus Dahlin. Now, they have in his career – I was talking to Owen Power, Owen Parker rather, and you know, he looked up when Dahlin was out with a concussion. They did beat Toronto years back, so there was the one win right there. But earlier in the season, they weren't capable of winning games without Rasmus Dahlin, and that was this season. But they didn't have the confidence in themselves. They weren't playing well. They were giving the puck away. They were trying to play the way they want to play and stay the way Lindy Ruff wants them to play. There was this black cloud over the organization, and they couldn't win without him. And then he shows up in Detroit, and they win the hockey game. You know, they come back from a 4-1 deficit and win the hockey game in his first game back. Well, it's a different team right now. Same guys, but different team. They're playing with confidence. They're playing, you know, their puck management is excellent now. You know, they're not giving up 3-on-0s and 2-on-0s and breakaways and layup goals and giving the puck away and it's in your net and all the mistakes that we were watching earlier in the season that led to them being the worst team in the Eastern Conference. And at one point, I think the second worst team in the National Hockey League. That's all kind of switched around. And here they are now having the confidence to not only win a hockey game without Rasmus Dahlin, but kind of win going away. And as Lindy Ruff said, he was home in Sweden. Now, don't forget, it's a six-hour time difference. So if Lindy was talking to Rasmus Dahlin at 6 o'clock, it was midnight in Sweden. And if the game started at 7, it was 1 in the morning in Sweden. You know, and Dahlin's going, no, I'm staying up. I'm watching the game. You know, so the game ends, what, around 9:30? Well, what is that? 3:30 in the morning in Sweden. Mm-hmm. You know, so he stayed up and watched the game because he wanted to cheer for his teammates.
And the plan is for Dahlin to meet the team in St. Louis, which is where they play next. Paul, let's just finish up here with what is next. The Blues on Monday, and not only will they maybe get their captain back, but we also might see Alex Lyon. Right now, both goalies are playing very well, so even if Lindy decides to go the other direction, which I expect him to do, I think they can feel confident as well. But a boost to get Dahlin back if that's the case on Monday.
Absolutely, and it's possible they could get Zucker back too. I mean, he'll have a couple of practices in. As you heard him on the pregame, he was joking around. He goes, I don't think the team wants me anymore. They're 7-0 without me. Well, there ain't no without you now. I'm sure they'll be happy to have him back. He is a big part of their team, and he's not one of the guys that makes them lose hockey games. So he won't have any problem fitting right back into the lineup when he's ready to be back. But it's possible that he could be back for that hockey game too.
Yep. Real quick, we'll read a second tweet here. Tom says, "Don't know if I'd even mess with the lineup if Zucker is ready. Who would come out?" So I'll let you answer that, Paul. Who would come out? Is that Dunn? Is that Oslin? Is that is Greenway get a load management game so he can delay it another game?
Yeah,
I mean, it's not back to back.
It might be a load management game. I hate to pull Dunn out of the lineup. He didn't play for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose it is Dunn. And when Greenway's not being managed, there's really nobody else to pull out of the lineup. So I suppose you could pull Oslin out. I mean, the fans will have a stroke if they do that. But, you know, so.
And that's correct, by the way.
Yeah. So
you're not exaggerating. And I probably would be chirping on the pregame about it, too. I don't know. I don't want him coming out.
But look at what Zucker brings to the game. I mean,
oh, yeah.
At this point in his career, Zucker brings more to the game than Oslin does. And that's not an insult to Oslin. That's just
yep.
what he brings to the game. That's all. Austin's going to be a very good hockey player in the National Hockey League and a very good two-way player. But at this point in their careers, Zucker's a better hockey player. But
yep.
whether he's the one that comes out or it's done or, once again, management with Greenway, we would just have to wait and see.
The code, Pat, right, old-school code of hockey would say, you can't touch the lineup.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great. But all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
With it being 8 in a row, right?
Can't get in until there's a loss.
They can't get in until
Lindy
there's a
Ruff
loss.
Proved it today. He doesn't. He
right.
proved it today that he doesn't subscribe to that because
that's
he changed
true.
Goalies.
You're right. That's where I was going to go with it. You're yeah. right, Paul. Exactly.
Yeah. So we'll see if Zucker's ready to go on Monday. Well, I guess as any coach would say, as we would say, we should say, it's a good problem to have, right, Paul? At this point.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what Lindy Ruff has said during this streak. There are a lot of good problems to have.
Yep. Okay, Paul, well, we'll see if they can get 9 in a row on Monday night. We will talk to you on the pregame show at 7 o'clock.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Thank you. All right, Paul Hamilton down in the room. If I said Zucker is going in, I mean, it's probably Dunn or Oslin, right? Is that
–
or is it Greenway with the load management
that's
idea?
That's the first thing I thought.
Yeah.
Especially with how – now, it has to play out a little bit, but you look at the schedule in the month of January.
Loaded.
Right. So is it an opportunity for you to maybe send somebody down and
Roseanne would go down
right.
to activate Zucker.
And then you basically just you're interchanging parts here and there, but it's always rotation with Greenway, a load management game here or there
yes.
with him. It's almost like the the utility man in baseball, right? Where you've got like a couple of guys that can fill different roles, and eventually someone's got to maybe take hold of the spot. But when you've got someone like Greenway here still trying to load manage, I think that's an easy way to do it.
And by the way, if people are saying, well, what about Dahlin? Ryan Johnson was called up. That's easy. Johnson goes back to Rochester. Dahlin comes in.
And he goes in. Bryson comes out.
Bryson or Metsa or whoever. Yeah, at that point, whoever you like. Probably Bryson's come out because they've been liking Metsa with that right-handed shot. So, yeah, again, good problems to have. I would expect Lyon would come back on Monday.
Yeah, and you know we sat here saying, is it the right move going into the game?
No, worked out.
Right. Lindy Ruff and the plan was correct. And you're right. It's a good problem to have, too. When you've got goaltenders like Lyon and Lukanen, you talk about it all the time, like players rise to the occasion, right? You don't want to be the guy, you don't want to be the goalie that gives up a 5 or 6 spot and the winning streak is over.
Right.
It's healthy competition in the end, and in a way that lifts everybody in the end. So I think this is a spot where you don't want to be the guy that comes out of the lineup. You don't want to. It's not that you're playing to not make a mistake, because I think. The one thing listening to the post game that stood out to me tonight a little bit was when Matias Samuelsson was asked, you know, why did you only give up 2 shots? How did you only give up 2 shots in the second? I said, never let them touch the puck.
Yeah.
Your best defense is your offense.
Correct.
And, you know, that old saying. And so by that, if you always have the puck, if you always are pressing the play, you're dominating, you're dictating the play, and you don't want to be the one that gives that up. So I think this is the healthy competition part where, yes, you're in an 8-game winning streak, so that helps things. But you don't want to be the guy that makes the mistake, but you're not also letting that hamper your play so much that it creates the mistake.
4-1, the final here. We will run through the standings one more time after we get our final check of the scoreboard. Let's get our drive around the league here with Pat.
Thanks, Brian. It's brought to you by AAA, official partner of the Buffalo Sabres. Couple of games still ongoing, including Buffalo's next opponent, St. Louis, with a 3-2 lead over Nashville. 5:04 to go in the third period. Pavel Buchnevich, a pair of goals. Braden Schenn, the other for St. Louis in that contest. Also less than 2 to go in the third in Dallas, where the Stars and Blackhawks are tied at 3. Buffalo played Dallas before the end of the calendar year as well. Also the Ducks and Kings meeting in L.A. Midway through the second period there, it's all L.A. 4 goals in the opening stands, including Quentin Byfield's 5th of the year, Drew Doughty, his 3rd as well, and it's 4-1 Los Angeles. Battle of Alberta taking place in Calgary tonight. 10 minutes gone by in the opening stanza, where the Flames and Oilers are tied at 1. The Sharks have a 2-1 lead over Vancouver. 10 minutes to go in the opening period there. 8.5 left in the first in Vegas, where the Golden Knights hold a 1-0 edge over Colorado. First game of the night saw the Islanders shut out the Rangers 2-0. David Rittich, 27 saves for the Islanders in that victory. Back and forth affair in Toronto tonight. Eventually, the Maple Leafs outlast the Senators 7-5. Auston Matthews, 3 points, including a goal. Matthew Nyes, 3 points and 2 goals in that victory, where the Senators scored 3 times in the third, but Toronto with 2 to finish it. Also, Tampa Bay doubling up the Panthers 4-2. It was overtime, but the Capitals defeat the Devils 4-3. The Hurricanes 5-2 winners over the Red Wings, while in overtime, the Wild outlast the Jets 4-3. In the AHL, the Americans fall to Cleveland 4-3 tonight as well. And also, week 17 of the NFL schedule rolls on. A couple of games today, including the Texans punching their ticket to the playoffs, clinching an AFC, at least a wild card spot as of tonight, with their 20-16 victory over the Chargers earlier today. Cameron Dicker missing an extra point and a field goal in that loss for the Chargers, who continue to sit in a playoff spot as well. The Ravens, their slim playoff hopes continue to remain alive. They have the ball driving against Green Bay. They lead the Packers 27-24. Tyler Huntley actually just throwing another touchdown. So for the moment, it's a 9-point Ravens lead, 33-24. But how about this for Derrick Henry? 29 touches, 160, and 3 touchdowns. One of the best backs in the NFL historically with those 3 touchdowns. In over 100 yards today, the extra point is good, so the Ravens lead the Packers 34-24. A Ravens loss would give the Steelers the NFC or the AFC North crown. A Ravens victory keeps their playoff hopes alive for at least 24 more hours, Brian.
All right, so battle of backups in Green Bay. Obviously, the Ravens lose, they're done. So,
yeah.
But hanging on after it looks like maybe they're going to be hanging on here to at least keep themselves alive. But if Pittsburgh wins against the Browns, then it's all for naught. They're going to be eliminated.
And then, you know, the at least the wild card round will have a game in Pittsburgh. Could that be a spot landing spot for the Bills? Who we'll see who ends up in Pittsburgh in that playoff.
As of this moment, if the Bills go win-win to finish, the lowest seed that they could be is 5.
Either the 2 or the 5, right?
Yeah, they'd either right. They could either maybe win the division, and it doesn't look like the 1 seed's going to be in play anymore with Denver's victory yesterday. So if they do win if the Bills go win-win, we know the worst case they will be is the high wild card, the best wild card, the 5, which would line them up with the AFC North champion, which, again, it's trending very much towards Pittsburgh.
And, again, with the way this season has gone, the 5 seed could very easily be hosting the AFC championship game.
Yes.
I mean,
look at the Texans and what they might be able to do. Are they a team that could go and win on the road with their great defense and them getting healthier now? For sure. They could do that. I mean, if Houston is the 6 or the 7, could they go upset New England or upset Jacksonville? And then you're right. Now, and then the Bills don't have to go face top seed Denver right away. I mean, maybe you'd want to. I almost think I'd almost rather play Denver right
now. With the way they're playing?
Would then play Jacksonville or New England. Yeah, I mean, the AFC is going to be wide open. And if the Bills play their game, I think they're capable of beating anybody. But we also know they've had off games. And I don't think necessarily being on the road, ultimately, the only spot, honestly, on the road amongst these AFC playoff teams that to me looks like a scary spot is at Houston, right, which it looks like they won't. If they go win-win, they're not going to have to go there anyway. They would be if there was somehow a matchup between those two, it would be at home, because that's really the only spot that it's been a disaster for them.
I'm not saying that you want this to happen if you're a Bills fan, but it's not. If you're a Bills fan, I don't think you feel like the team can't go on the road and win 3 playoff games to get to the Super Bowl. Would you rather have a home game? Absolutely. I'm not disputing that. But if you were to tell me the Bills finish as the 5 seed and end up having to go on the road for 3 straight games in the playoffs to get to the Super Bowl, I think all 3 of those games are easily winnable, because when you look back, what's the one common thread? And this isn't to discredit to other teams. Houston is a reason why it happens. The Bills have turned the ball over 3+ times in their losses.
Yeah.
They tend to beat themselves a little bit. The defense can do it to you, but that's if they manage the ball well, they've proven that they can be a winning team.
There's probably also another couple of layers in maybe what would feel like disappointment if the Bills end up staying a wild card is, A, you've got no Chiefs, no Bengals, no Ravens, and you're thinking, how are they not a 1 seed? How are they not a division champ in this circumstance? So, I mean, there's that there, too. And there's a little emotional piece, too, of that the final year of the stadium. There's not even going to be a playoff game there, likely.
Right.
You know, or at least trending in that direction. I know there's a piece of that fans are going to be disappointed with, that maybe the regular season finale against the Jets is ultimately the last game in this stadium.
I'll throw another wrinkle into it. The Patriots are the team that breaks your streak of 5 straight division championships, too. So
that's annoying.
The team you couldn't beat,
right,
nobody could beat for nearly 2 decades in the division. So, yeah, that would be another just annoying part of the year.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so our coverage tomorrow for all of you listening on our flagship is going to start at 11 a.m. because we got the 4:25 kickoff tomorrow.
And still don't know as of, we won't know until tomorrow night when the Bills kick off next Sunday against the Jets.
That's right. They usually announce that some point during Sunday Night Football. So we'll have to see. Again, if the Bills and Patriots division is still in play, they're going to want those two to be playing at the same time, whether they'll both be at 1 or both be at 4:25. We know that likely if the division is still up for grabs, Pat, we know they're going to at least be at the same time.
That is one nice thing the NFL has done in the last decade for the competitive balance, and you know, teams aren't just laying down and whatever. So, see if that's a problem that the NFL has to figure out tomorrow.
Yeah. Let's finish here with just one more look at the standings now that you've just said all the early games here in the Eastern Conference have gone final. Now Buffalo and Florida, same number of games played, both 42 points. So officially, I know the tiebreaker edge because of regulation wins goes to Florida. But in terms of points and points percentage, the two things we've been looking at, deadlock with Florida right now for the final spot.
And Florida's done it without Alexander Barkov, who's not going to be back at least for the regular season, probably not for the year. They're doing it without Matthew Tkachuk, who should be back at some point soon. So when they get him back, maybe it's post-Olympic break, whatever, that's still 2 months of the season. You know they're going to make a charge. Do you really think Toronto's going to be sitting in the basement? Now, can they bury themselves so far that they can't make the charge? That's possible. But you look at who's behind you. you just got to keep picking off points because you don't want to let this winning streak be your high watermark and you fall back.
There's no real team other than Toronto behind Buffalo that I would sit there and say, like, the Sabres can't be better than. I look at the Devils, the Rangers, the Senators, the Bruins, the Penguins, and the Blue Jackets. I feel like when I look at just talent up and down, maybe New Jersey.
I'll say the Rangers.
Yeah.
To me, I think they're the team that this is a year. I know Mike Sullivan's the new head coach, and they made another head coaching change, but this is kind of a make-or-break year for them to finally get over the hump. And for them to be that far down right now, I mean, they couldn't score a goal at home for what felt like the first month of the year.
They're still 5-13 at home. That's really bad.
That's abysmal. So that they may have buried themselves, but I think they're another team that I would be keeping my eye on as the calendar flips to January and February for that final push.
One stat we tend to look at, too, to kind of separate, and it usually does, between top eight and bottom eight in the conference is goal differential. The Red Wings right now, in terms of point total, are leading the Atlantic. They're a -5 goal differential. So that you could argue, if you wanted to, that they're a little fluky in terms of maybe where they are. That could be a team that could come back down.
Yeah, I think that the word you might want there is sustainability.
Yeah.
Is it sustainable to be outscored by your opponent? And the answer is no. That's a great flip side of the coin of maybe teams making a charge. Well, maybe you can make a charge against one of those teams that you're trying to track down, too.
Yeah, when you look at points percentage, the Sabres right now, again, tied with Florida for the last playoff spot at 568. The Wings actually would be in third in the Atlantic with Tampa and Montreal at 608. But pretty amazing, too, that the Sabres, points-wise, if you look just at points percentage, but you throw the point differential, it's only 3 points. So it's a 1.5 wins away.
I know that we talked a lot about January, but look at some of the opponents, especially in the middle of that month. Those are the teams you're going to be really fighting for a playoff spot against. Especially Montreal.
There's your Rangers.
Yeah.
You've got Montreal three times.
Three times, twice here.
Yep. You've got Florida in there.
Even Philadelphia, who is
the Leafs are in this mix if we think they're going to get back in it. And then as you go into February, you've got Florida, Tampa to open up again.
And at the end of the month, the beginning and the end of the month,
right.
You go to Florida twice.
Back-to-back games both times in Florida there with the Panthers and the Lightning in that order. You're right. That's how they start February. That's how they end February. Only one home game in February. The entire month. It's a long Olympic break.
Yes.
But the schedule there. To have all these home games in a row in January and then have essentially none almost for like a month and a half. The balance of the schedule to me is not great. It even started that way in October when almost the entire month of October was at home.
Yeah, and you look at there's large chunks of like 3 days off here and there throughout the course of the year where I get you've got mandatory days off and it's better for the players, but taking these big breaks has really hurt your product on the ice. And even the regular season now goes till mid-April, and you're going to talk about the Stanley Cup again being awarded in the middle of June probably.
Well, let's hope maybe we're doing games here in June. That's
that would be a great problem to have.
That's right. Well, the schedule, regardless of whether we like it or not, says this for next week. Monday at St. Louis, 8 o'clock start. Wednesday at Dallas, 8 o'clock start. Saturday in Columbus, 3 o'clock start. Pre-game an hour ahead of time for all those games right here on our flagship on WGR. And then along the Sabres Radio Network with Dan and Rob. All right, Pat, thank you. Have a good rest of your weekend, and we will talk to you here on January 6th with the next home game.
Sounds great. I'll go back to yelling at the clouds now.
Sounds good. Thank you, Pat.
Yep.
All right. Yes, a road week upcoming for the Sabres, and then our next time here talking at KeyBank Center, January 6th against the Vancouver Canucks. And that'll wrap things up here as the Sabres win their eighth in a row tonight against Boston 4-1. We want to thank our crew, TJ Luckman, our network producer back in our Amherst studios. Thank you, TJ. Pat Malacaro, Jonathan Colziel, Paul Hamilton all here at KeyBank Center. Tom Matty, our engineer. And, of course, our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. I'm Brian Colziel. Again, the final. Buffalo 4, Boston 1. The Sabres have won 8 in a row. Thank you for listening. Enjoy the Bills coverage tomorrow. And I'll talk to you Monday night with the Sabres in St. Louis. Right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.
Central will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid, the audience is growing, but the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.